Blog Talk Radio.
She's pretty as a picture, be careful taking in the view. So blinded by her beauty, your vision gets the best of you. Between your images and expectations, must be nothing she can't do. Just remember, angels don't really fly, no, it's just an expression. She really didn't fall from the sky. So please don't get that impression. She knows she's already tried. Angels don't really fly. No, 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 no. She'll listen to your longing. Every heart must have a say. Miles away by morning, still you wonder when she'll stay. A brand new moment is barely dawning. Best you now be on your way. And remember, angels don't really fly. Just an expression. She really didn't fall from the sky. So please don't get that impression. She knows she's already tried. Angels don't really fly. No, no, no.
Blessings and welcome to the Leopard Carpet. Tonight, my special guest is, I know I advertised him as an author, a journalist, which he is, but the track that you just heard is called Angels Really Don't Fly, and that is actually also by my special guest tonight, Dwight Hobbs. Welcome to the Leopard Carpet tonight, Dwight.
Lady Flavor, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm excited about having you on. You know, I was sitting here, like, thinking about you, and it just, you know, it's like, I know, it's like, I knew you would laugh when I said that. It was like, okay, what direction do I even go and start? You know, of course we want to talk about your new book, which just came out, Something I Set. You know, but if you, yes, Dwight.
Well, can we get in for my cheat sheet, you know, a couple of shout-outs?
Of course you can.
Joel Money, you know, an amazingly gifted, you know, actor in L.A. You know, she's, you know, she really is enormously talented, and she's got her TV series Venus Flytrap, you know, which is launching. This is April?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so it launched, you know, in March, you know, so, you know, God bless her and good speed. And my girl in Detroit, you know, Shelly Halima, oh, good Lord. I got a crush on Shelly like 100 pounds of steel, but we won't even mention that. But she is an amazingly gifted writer. She really is. You know, she's got, you know, two novels out. No, three. The first one was Azucca Moreno, and the second one was Los Morenos, and now she's got, you know, Blinding Mirrors. And I, you know, if I know Shelley, you know, she's got, you know, a new book, you know, under wraps, and, you know, hasn't just yet unveiled it. But Shelley Halima, novelist extraordinaire. Okay, let me get my eyes on and see, you know, if anybody going to be offended because I left them out. I guess, you know, we'll get around to mentioning Papyrus Publishing, right?
Well, I think you should. Well, you can mention that, when we get into your book.
Where's your boy Roger, the original Dodger?
Well, you know what? You know what? I waved my magic wand, and you just never know. You just never know.
I love it. That cat, you know, you did. No, you started the set off with Angels, and that is a song that Roger and I never got a chance, you know, to do in the studio. And it's funny because Roger and I did work on Lady Midnight, which is basically, you know, the same song. And he sat there and actually laughed. He's a black country singer. I'm like, yeah, well, it happens.
Right.
But anyhow, the sessions, you know, that Roger and I did together, you know, we came out with Pretty Girl. And that's, you know, for me, you know, that's a godsend because, you know, he really, you know, put on his thinking cap and could have, you know, just fluffed it off. But no, I mean, Roger bent his shoulder to the wheel and, you know, played, you know, keys, guitar, bass, even brought in Thomasina Petrus, you know, to sing. And I'm like, okay, well, is it okay if I sing too? But okay, enough, you know, of that public service announcement. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, Lady Flavor, but
you know what, this is the leopard carpet. It's all about you tonight, Dwight, so you know we definitely will let you call the shots. But you know what, I just want to say something right quick just to kind of give a bit of a history of your and my connection. You know, I it's funny, you think about Minnesota, which is where Dwight Hobbs is. And let me back up. Dwight Hobbs is actually an amazing singer, songwriter, musician. He is a playwright. He is a journalist. He is now an author. I mean, he's an amazing, thought-provoking writer. And I will say that in reading your book, Something I Said, it definitely gave me an insight to you in a very, very different direction, Dwight. And I know you laugh, and I get that. But Dwight, let me just kind of tell the little triangle here of my connections to Minnesota.
Sure.
It started out many years ago. I want to say let's go back to maybe 2000, six, seven, eight, you know, with an artist out there, a writer, poet, painter by the name of Sean Garrison, Sean Phillips. And
oh, man, is he gifted or what?
Right.
I did not get a chance to go see his exhibit, you know, but I'm telling you, this man is amazingly gifted, not only in his own artistry, but in whom he pulled in, you know, to have their works exhibited. Oh, man, it is so rich, you know, in texture, dimension. And I'm not even, you know, an art critic.
Okay.
But I can tell you that, you know, I mean, if you were to be there, you know, I mean, I saw it, you know, online and was blown away. I can barely imagine what it must have been to stand, you know, in the gallery and see these, you know, artworks. I'm sure, you know, it was an experience, you know, that had to be indeed experienced to be believed. I'm sorry.
Right.
You were trying to talk. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. But, no, I appreciate, you know, your kind words about the whole setup of what Sean put together. But Sean is my foundation of, you know, my connection to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he and I have been, you know, friends for many, many years. And so then from there, you know, he had reached out to me and said, you know, my boy Roger is going to be moving to Seattle. You know, Susan, please, you know, look out for him.
Oh, and, far out.
And so that's how then Roger Lear, R-E-L, Dwight is real. Yeah, you know, that Dwight is speaking on. He moved out here to Seattle. He's an amazing musician and producer, as Dwight was saying. He's also a very thoughtful writer, too, not only with poetry, but just very, very thought-provoking blogs.
Roger?
And, yes, you didn't know this?
You're good. You know what? I have to confess. You know, that is not a side of Roger that he has imparted to me. So I've definitely, you know, got to go, you know, research that. Oh, yeah. You know, I know Roger, you know, is a, you know, I mean, he writes, you know, music, you know, that has to be, you know, listened to, you know, to really truly be appreciated. Because, you know, he's got, you know, that smooth groove down to a science.
Right.
You know, and I've never heard him sing, you know, and I've never heard him, you know, I've never read, you know, read his blog. So, well, I'm going to have to get up to speed.
You should go check it out because, you know, he's very, very thoughtful.
I'll take
your word for it. Thought-provoking. And, no, you know, yeah, exactly. I know you will, but I know you'll have. You'll have your own interesting opinion. So as I continue on my journey of getting to Mr. Dwight Hobbs, so Roger moved out here to the Pacific Northwest. We became connected. Then Roger then moved back to Minneapolis and, you know, got busy taking care of his business out there again. And so then that's how I became connected to Dwight. And, you know, the introduction was through Dwight, you know, being a singer-songwriter. And really, really interesting, you know, interesting sound.
I saw
and
on Facebook, I saw, you know, Lady Flavor. I'm like, who is this, you know, Lady Flavor? I'm like, who is this white chick, you know, who thinks, you know, she calls him Lady Flavor? Little did I know. When I went on your photo album, I'm like, she Native American. Oh, excuse me. But by that time, you know, I was already hooked. You know, I was
That's
already
so
hooked.
That's so funny.
If you was blue with plaid and polka dot stripes, you're not Native American?
No, I'm not.
You're Eskimo?
You're so funny. Okay, I'm Japanese and I'm German.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny because there are a lot of people, and, I mean, I deal with this on a regular basis, that people say,
you're
white.
Native American?
No, no, no. They just, I think that they do not assume that I'm white or, you know, that my skin, because they've never seen a picture of me.
Okay.
And so they're like, when they do see a picture, they say, I didn't know that you were white. And I'm like, you know what? I really am not. I'm half white. My, you know, I'm half white. My dad is Japanese, you know, but it's funny because, you know, it's like, it just, that's kind of funny to me, you know, people's reaction once they actually see a picture. I am Japanese and I was raised in a black community from birth. And
oh,
so it's just a really kind of an interesting, you know, background that I had in myself. But so anyway, I met Mr. Dwight Hobbs through my dear friend Roger.
Roger.
And, you know, and I came to know Dwight through his music. So if you were to scroll back in the archives of my shows, Dwight was actually on the Leopard Carpet with me prior to this. On November 7th, I want to say November 7th. And we talked about his music. You got to hear a good taste of Dwight's flavor. He's got a very interesting voice. He's got a great style of writing and storytelling through his music. And as you will be able to tell, you know, through this next hour or so that we spend with Dwight, he's got a very interesting personality. And so as I listen to the music that he writes and the words to then now reading something I said, I'm like, wow, is this like the same person? You know, it was really kind of interesting because you cut kind of like, what did I call it? Like a sarcastic kind of personality or whatever. It's interesting and can be challenging at times. And then I'm like, okay, he writes these songs.
I'll tell you what my one of my ex-girlfriends said.
Okay.
She said, you know, Dwight, nobody likes a smart ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Right.
I really do have to cop. You know, I've got to confess. I mean, that is my spirit. You know, my spiritedness, you know, is being a smart ass.
And Dwight and I have had this conversation, and it took me a minute to kind of get it, you know, kind of just really get it. But I think, honestly, Dwight, what helped me get it was because I had such an appreciation for your music. And I've told you the story several times that when I turn iTunes on, my iTunes, you know, and it's all the music that has ever been sent to me, you know, it just pops up randomly. You know, I never know whose music's actually going to pop up when I turn it on. And I'm like, you know, when your music pops up, I find myself singing to it. So it's very clear that
really?
I'm very familiar. Oh, yes. You don't want to hear me sing, though, Dwight. You don't want to hear the voice, okay? But, yes, I do sing to your music. I even find myself swaying a bit. So, but it is music that makes me smile, and I think it's
good.
I think that it is something that is because it is a form of storytelling. The way that I receive it, and it's kind of like I can kind of visualize things, and I can kind of just maybe sense where it's coming from. But if you base that off of like having a conversation with you and just kind of getting through your quirkiness, you're like, did you really write that and really sing that? Like, this is not the same person. You know, so I know that back in November we talked about the fact that you had this book coming out, you know, and we talked about, you know, me reading it for a review when you found out that I was a book reviewer and this and that, and coming back on the Leopard Carpet when it came out. So that's what we're doing tonight. But I have to tell you, Dwight, something I said is pretty special.
Thank you.
It's really, really interesting. It's very well written. The subjects, I love how you tackle the subjects. And it's not, you know, each subject isn't very long. It doesn't take a long time to read. It really doesn't even take that much time to really think about it. I think it's extremely thought-provoking. I think that you could challenge people's minds and say, you know, like, I don't know about, you know, the direction that he's going with this. You know, because you touch on some really tough topics. And I think what I really like about the fact is you are not politically, as what they would say, politically correct. You know, as far as, you know, just like keeping it kosher and, you know,
right.
You know, and all of that. But I think that you speak from your heart and your mind and what, you know, how these subjects make you think and feel. Two, you can tell that you've done research. And so you do talk a lot about abuse. You know, and
the
different
first
forms
third of the book.
Right. And it's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh, but it's real. And I think that
it's a harsh subject.
But I think that you do it in a very tactful way, even though you don't hold your tongue. You get to the point. I think you say it in a way that when we have general conversations amongst ourselves,
okay.
We might talk, right? Except we might use a little bit more colorful language or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but I think that you address it in a way that we would have in general conversations amongst our friends, family, you know, maybe even peers, but that you never see it really in writing in that way.
Okay.
And so I think that that's one of the things that I appreciated. I don't know if – I believe that I had told you this, but I'm not sure. You know, my background prior to being Lady Flava is a domestic violence advocate and homeless advocate.
No, you didn't tell me that.
And so the subjects hit pretty strong for me. I worked many, many years in an emergency shelter for battered women and their children. And I also worked in a shelter and transitional program for homeless women and children who
I can't even, you know, Lady Flava, I can't even imagine what it must have been, you know, to be there firsthand, you know, and receive, you know, these women and their children. And I guess, you know, I guess probably, you know, you didn't get to too many men, but, you know, it could not have been anything that you went home at the end of your shift and just shrugged it off.
Well, just to give just a quick, because this show's not about me, Dwight. But you know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. You know,
oh,
from about
God.
Let's see, 22 years ago, I divorced my husband, and so. I'm a survivor, but it took many, many years, and I realized that I had to walk away from corporate America, and I couldn't do it any longer. So on my 40th birthday, I left corporate America and became a domestic violence advocate. And, you know, I had many, many years to heal from my own personal situation. It's something that it was one of the most rewarding jobs that I've ever done, besides what I'm doing right now with artists. It's something I take very, very serious. And it is work that is needed. I agree with some of the statements that you put in the book in regards to the services. There can't be enough services, but even if there were more services, it's not going to end it. You know, it's just really when it comes to abuse, when it comes to homelessness, it's not going to end it. And so, you know, we need to rethink all of this. There's many reasons why people end up homeless. You do touch on the fact that there are some homeless people that just really want to be homeless.
Don't get me started about, you know,
right.
violence because, I mean, I'm like Susan. Like I said, okay, I mean, I'm like, it did not start by itself. It's not going to be changed by itself. And, yes, we can end domestic abuse and violence. Yes, we can. I'm sorry. Domestic abuse and rape. We can end both. Well, we can.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can.
Right. We can. And I think a lot of it is awareness. I think a lot of it is finding a safe place and a safe person to turn to. I think that's the hardest thing to do. Is that so many of us live with it and we don't speak on it. For myself, I didn't speak it.
Can I, you know, I'm not sure whether it's in the book or not, but, you know, my feeling is that
the way you end domestic abuse and rape is that you really need a solution as strong as the problem. You know, you really do.
Oh, sure.
You really do. I mean, and look, I mean, okay, I can be wrong like anybody else,
mm-hmm.
but that's how I feel. For instance, if somebody, you know, is a rapist, well,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Sentence them to jail and to be raped.
That's an interesting point.
Is a domestic abuser,
point.
You know, send them to jail and to get beat on.
Right. That's an interesting point.
Serving time clearly does not do anything because they come out of jail and do it again.
Well,
now,
yeah.
You sentence them to time in which they are subject to the same abuse they perpetrated?
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. It may not guarantee a change in behavior, but hey, we've already seen that just serving the sentence doesn't change it. So
mm-hmm.
why not try it? Why not try raping rapists? Why not try beating beaters? Give it a shot.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting argument that you raise, you know, Dwight. I think that unfortunate is, you know. I think that you also touched on it in the book. You know, even with those that are abusers, rapists, you know, those that violate others, even violate self, it didn't start right then. You know, something has happened in their own lives I'd say, you know, at least 90% of the time, something has. I agree. There is no excuse for it. But I think that, you know, if you do go that direction with somebody who has violated somebody else, it just manifests it to be even deeper. And you also touched on the fact I was,
you know, an abused child. My mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, threw coffee cups at me. I mean, my
mm-hmm.
mother beat me, you know, every time, you know, she got, you know, in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
I never put my hand on my child because
right.
I knew what kind of trauma.
Right.
And trauma is not just a word in the dictionary.
No.
Being hit by the person you love most in the world, that's not trauma. That's
right.
absolute devastation.
Right.
I never hit my child because of that.
Right.
Now, don't tell me, you know, that, oh, because I was abused, I have to abuse.
No. By no means is it that. But you know, the reality is, as we already know, if somebody's treated really well, doesn't mean that they're necessarily always going to go out there and treat others well. But there's a very good chance. You know,
true.
You know what I mean?
True.
But there's a good chance that they are. You know, so when somebody is abused,
you're absolutely right. You know, because you're treated well doesn't mean that you're going to treat other people well.
Right. Or, you know, and just like you said, just because you might be abused doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go out and be an abuser. But I
right.
think the bottom line is it starts in the beginning. It starts at home, you know, and we really need to think through all of this. I think that too many people jump into relationships that aren't necessarily, they're not thinking it through.
God,
it's based off of
tell
lust.
Me about it.
You know, and so I think that relationships, you know, start, you know, on the wrong note than the right note. You kind of, you know, and you touch on all these type of subjects in this book, and I thought, this is just so interesting because I'm like playing it through my head. Okay, I've had conversations with Dwight. I've had communications. I'm like, okay, this man is so interesting to me. Like, breathe, Susan, breathe. Okay, you know, you can get it. And then, you know, then I play your music and I'm listening to the music and I'm like trying to balance that through the quirkiness of your personality. And then I read this book, you know, and I read this book and I'm like, wow. It is really, really well written. It really is. You touch on some great subjects, and then we get back to this relationship area, right? Back to the book, and I'm like, is he really writing on relationships? I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm like, you know what? He's really making some valid points. Where is this really coming from? Like, clearly I don't know this man. Clearly I do not know this man at all. I don't have him figured out. Maybe that's the interesting thing about you, too, is I do not have you figured out at all. And so I'm like, okay, so, Dwight, where does this all come from in you? Like, you know, from, you know, speaking out and being radical when it comes to abuse or relationships or race or, you know, all of these things.
I used to think I knew. You know, if you had asked me, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I'd have had, you know, a pat answer. You know, today, I'm like, believe me, it's as much a mystery to me as it is to you. I mean, and you know, and I've quit trying to figure it out. You know, it's like, well, listen, that's just me. But listen, can I read from one of my favorite pieces from the book?
Please, I would love that.
Oh my goodness, I love this one. It was inspired by her name is Carlotta Arredondo, and yes, you know, Roger knows who she is. And let me see. Oh boy. When you meet someone special, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read a section that will, I don't know, maybe clue me in as much as anyone else as to where I'm coming from, because the title of the essay, you know, is called "When You Meet Someone Special." And the idea is when you meet someone special, you'll treat them like they are. And basically, like I told, who was I telling? Jasmine, I can't pronounce her last name, but I told her, you know, that the whole chapter on romantic advice is basically, you know, to guys, and you can sum it up. You can sum it up in one sentence. Here's a clue, stupid. So, here we go. Okay, you want to be Sir Walter Raleigh, Billy Dee, and Richard Pryor rolled into one, even if you look like none of them. The gallantry of Sir Walter, no, stupid, don't take your coat off and cover a mud puddle with it. Open the door for her when you get, you know, to the restaurant. No, not McDonald's, a restaurant, someplace nice. Pull her chair out, compliment her hair. You know, even I do look stupid. Be Billy D. Smile, man. Have a pleasant demeanor about you. There is nothing more pleasant than a relaxed smile. And if you don't have a relaxed smile, go home, practice in the mirror. Go home and write on the blackboard 10 times a day until it becomes your mantra or your arm falls off. One, women respond to warmth. You got it? Good. Now go back and write it on the board again 10 more times. And be Richard Pryor. Have a sense of humor. Even if you don't know any jokes, use humor in things. It shows you're able to enjoy a nice time. And here is your super secret weapon. Pay attention. There's a difference between managing to, you know, to stay awake and actually paying attention. A woman wants to know you're paying attention. And in case you didn't get that, she wants to know you're paying attention. You know, and that's, you know, an excerpt. But, you know, it's funny, you know, how the common sense things, you know, so often escape men. You know, I mean, they will look at, okay, you know, Billy D., you know, and watching, you know, the woman watch, what was it, Ladies Sing Some Blues. You know, they'll sit there and watch the woman, you know, look at Billy Dee, you know, playing, forget the character, but in Ladies Sing Some Blues, and be like, well, why are you watching that nigga, you know, so hard? Because you don't act like that. Believe me, if you are being as charming to your woman as you're supposed to be, man, Billy Dee Williams will look like a frog next to you.
Well, maybe not quite a frog, but you get my point.
See, I told you this man is going to be interesting, and I told you that it was like, okay, you're going to sit here and listen to him talk, and then you're going to listen to his music, and then if you, by chance, and I would encourage you to find out about his book and look into that Something I Said, and you're going to like, is this all the same person? But you know what, before we go any further, Dwight, you know, I got a surprise for you, so...
Really?
Welcome to the leopard carpet, Roger Lear.
Roger, hello.
Dodger.
Can you hear me?
My man.
In the building.
What's up, man?
I'm smiling. See, I have that relaxed smile as if I'm trying to get my Billy D. Mac on right now. It's the relaxed smile. Hey, Lady Flavor, how are you?
I'm fine, darling. It's wonderful to hear your voice. I don't know what to say about your friend, Mr. Dwight Hobbs, here.
Keep it all private. You have to excuse me. I'm going through a bunch of allergies and whatnot, so if I sound a little crazy, just overlook that.
Well, he wasn't sure if you were calling in, and, of course, I wasn't going to tell him that necessarily you were calling in. I told him I'd wave my magic wand and, you know, let's see what we could do. So
I'm helpless. I have to respond to you. I don't know about him all the time, but I have to respond to you.
Well, see, I feel the love. See, he loves me, Turkey Dwight.
Sandwich.
I don't know if he loves you, but he loves me.
No, I love Dwight. I got a lot of history with this guy, but you are special. He's familiar. I'm familiar with him. He's like the good meal that you always eat, and you know it's going to be good every time you have it. But you're that special prime rib kind of thing going on. So.
Sucky.
Mm-hmm. With some good sauce. What are we talking about? This was the first time that I actually called your show to, and I got the information about push the number one, and then they'll let the host know. And I got a chance to tune in and listen. And that's interesting because I'm going to do it this way a little more often. I'm just going to pop in on your shows from time to time.
But I
came in on the tail end of him just giving the excerpt. And I just want to tell you, you know, for the current folks, brother, you and I and Lady Flavor, we know who Billy D is. But there might be some people listening who don't quite know. They need to do some, if you don't know who Billy
Homework.
D is, you need to Google Billy D. Williams. Because that's the original black man with flavor right there, that one.
Amen.
That's the original black man with flavor.
Amen.
If you want to be a suave brother who is about something, that is the guy to emulate because he has it going
Tell
on.
It, Roger.
Okay. I just wanted to say that because I was listening to you talk about it, and I was thinking, well, I wonder how many people might be listening but don't know who Billy D. Williams is, you know, or Richard Pryor, who was an awesome comedian who was one of the founders. I hear about Kings of Comedy, and he was one of the original Kings of Comedy. But again,
Amen.
You know, there's so many new comics now that have done great things. Some people may not know who Richard Pryor is. Go ahead and get your Google on. There it is. Because Dwight's talking about something for real.
Take him to school, Roger. Take him to school.
Just a little bit.
You know, Roger.
That's my man. You know, Roger, me and Roger Lear, you know, we go back. You know, God bless, you know, his mom, you know, Mary, who introduced us. Because when I got here in 92, 93, you know, I mean, this was the first cat, you know, to take me in the studio and produce me, and he's there have been two producers in my entire career that I have not fired, and Roger is one. I mean, I've had like seven, and I fired five of them. You know, and it's like Roger. I'm like, man, I can't wait till you get back in the studio with this cat again.
Sooner.
He took my song "Pretty Girl," right? I mean, I sat down there, you know, with just you know, an acoustic guitar, you know, and, you know, G major 7, you know, C major 7. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I hope he likes it. And he was like, all right, you know, you got a little something there. You know, and so we went, you know, in the studio, and I'm like, well, okay, nothing from nothing, you know, need nothing. We see what we come out with. And, he, you know, I went in to lay down the vocal, and I'm like, well, I don't know about this, man. You know, I ain't never, you know, sang, you know, to a track like this. I had never sung to a rhythm and blues track before, you know, R&B. You know, I don't mean, you know, like, you know, Kansas City, here we come. No, I mean, you know, the smooth groove, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, you know what, Dwight, you know, the man trusts you, so relax. And I have never sung better before or since. And it's because Roger, you know, laid down, you know, just like you laid down, you know, the carpet, you know, Lady Flavor. Roger laid down, you know, that groove. And I mean, once I settled in and relaxed and got comfortable, you know, it was clear. This cat knows how to produce a track.
Mm-hmm.
So that concludes this public service announcement.
Right. You know, the Flavor, I want to mention the other side of that story. Because actually, I was at that time, I had just moved back from Europe, and I was doing some production there. And when I got home, I was trying to focus fully on hip-hop. Because when I was over in Europe, there was a lot of Europop going on. Milli Vanilli was big at the time. And everything from over there, it paid well, but it was all really nice. And I grew up with Parliament, Funkadelic. I grew up with the funk and all of that. And so I loved the money, but I wanted to do something different. And then I met this guy. So here's what happened. He had a couple of rough drafts. And so when he gives me the song, and it's funny because he says, well, he's hoping I like it. Well, I'm hoping he likes what I'm doing.
I didn't really,
because, again, you know, I was doing it full time at that point. I needed to make the money. I needed to create the impression because while I grew up in Minnesota, I was still new, right? And so he gives me a song, and I said, okay, I got an idea for this. I know what I want to do. And he comes into the studio, and I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I don't really care because he came with me. He comes into the studio. He sits on the chair because I had bought a bunch of whatever with that. He sits on the chair, and he takes his shirt off. So he's got his acoustic guitar going with his shirt off, and I'm thinking, why does his brother have his shirt off? Well, he was a little hot. Okay. If that's what it takes for him to get comfortable, fine. Let that brother do what he's got to do. But, you know, it didn't take a lot of effort for him to loosen up and deliver. And I would agree with him. I've listened to his work, some of the work beforehand and some of the work after, and he is consistent. But I think if he doesn't have the right kind of
right
direction, he doesn't get free. And the chemistry between he and I when we were doing the work originally, he was able to get free. And I was so focused with hip-hop at the time that although I did R&B, I didn't have a lot of time. But I have promised him, and now I'm promising you, we're going to set up some time to get back in the studio. And I'm going to go ahead and do it.
You are a witness, Lady Flavor.
Now,
listen, we got this documented. You a witness, Lady Flavor.
And Lady Flavor, we can go ahead and give you a debut. No, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. I'm at the tail end of rebuilding a really, really nice studio now. I'm really excited about that. And Dwight is going to be one of my primary projects.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it.
Hey, don't be criticizing me online, brother.
You turkey. You ain't even a whole turkey, man. You just a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, and everybody hears him say that, and that's his expression of love for those individuals who don't quite understand it.
Believe me. I mean, Lady Flavor, I reserve that, you know, for my very best friends. You know, I mean, I will call, you know, my best friends, you know. I'll tell E.G. Bailey, you know, who runs, you know, Minnesota Spoken Word, Osmond, listen, man, you better hide, you know, every Thanksgiving, you turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so listen, you know, when I call Roger a turkey sandwich, you know, I'm like, you know, that, you know, that's how I'm saying, you know, hey, man, you know, I love you.
Always good. It's always good. Always good.
Yeah, I know you missed this, you know, prior to you calling in, Roger, but, I mean, you know, Dwight knows I've struggled with his personality, that he's interesting and challenging to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that, you know, I sit here and I have tried to figure this out, like, okay, the personality versus the music, the personality now versus this book, right? And
sure,
I'm like,
oh,
okay, does this all, like, really match? But I have to tell you, you know, and he sits here and laughs. But, you know, the book, Something I Said, it is really well written. I know that you have told me, you know, many times that he is a very good writer, you know, and you are right, Roger, he is. I mean, it's kind of in your face, you know, what he's written on the subjects, but they're factual, in my opinion. They're horror subjects that, you know, need to be tackled. And, you know, he speaks his mind, he speaks his truth, and you have to respect that.
Well, you know, you know, the first time I really encountered his writing, he was writing for
Insight.
It was a Black Insight.
Yeah.
And I'm telling this story, brother. I don't need your help. I don't need your help. So
okay,
I saw him in Insight News, and then, you know, and I read a couple of his pieces, and the first thing I got from it was, this guy can really write. My initial response was, he can really write, but he's so abrasive that some people won't get a chance to really enjoy him because they'll be put off by the abrasiveness. And I'm not going to sit here and be a therapist and say, well, this is why that is, this is why that is. But when I got past that and just said, well, whatever with him. He can do what he's got to do. And I was really intrigued with his work. And then he had a play that he had written, and it was at Penumbra Theater, I believe it was.
Nah, man, Mixed Blood.
Mixed Blood, yes, you're right. And what was that, 2000? Yeah,
Shelter,
what was that, 2002, 2003? Something like that.
Yeah, 2003, man.
Yeah, it was 2003, and I went to that play, and I sat there through it in about the third row, and towards the end of the play, I was in tears, because it was so much that
get
I could relate to in my, yeah, whatever, man, I didn't tell you about all that.
No, I'm listening.
But really, I was in tears because I felt so connected to the things that I was seeing on stage. And then at the end, when, you know, the actors and actresses, they did took their bow, and then, you know, I was able to get backstage and talk to some of them. When you spoke to those people, like, the lead character was so hard, but when you spoke to that guy in person, he was diametrically opposed to the character on stage. He was just very sweet, very straightforward, and there was so much power in the delivery of what, you know, Dwight had written. And that's when I was convinced that regardless of personality and all the other stuff, this brother's really good at what he does. He's really good at what he does. You know, and our friendship has transcended his work because I love this brother. He's a really good guy. But I just, even when you had first met him, I won't get into the full story, but when you had that little thing and you and I were talking about, hey, you got to get past that, just got to talk to this guy, because behind that external thing, very gifted guy, very gifted brother. There's not a lot of people as diverse as he is.
And Roger was right, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, Roger, you know, stayed on my butt about it because he was like, Susan, you got to let it go. I really don't want to hear it no more. And he put his foot down on with me, and he says, I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, it's like,
so
okay,
glad,
deal with him
know,
or don't
that,
deal
that
with
you
him.
Had the patience.
So, you know, I'm glad that I stuck in there because I could have just shut down and said, you know, I don't want to experience him anymore. I'm just, you know, we're keeping it real, right? You know, your book is something I said, right? So let's just keep it real. You know, I could have just shut it down, you know, but, you know, you, thanks to your friend Roger, he was like, Susan, just, you know,
God
either, you know, go one way or another.
Rascal.
But, you know, on the other side of it, because I will say this, and in brief, when he first got in touch with me about getting in touch with you, he said, hey, can, you know, hook it up? Can you hook it up? No, I can't hook it up. But I will let her know that you're going to get in touch with her. And because, again, I know typically what happens, and you know, in the business, there's a lot of times that you can endorse someone,
mm-hmm.
and you catch a bad rap because you endorse somebody. You know? And so I say this to my friend. I love him. He is incredibly gifted. But until you get to know him, you know, hey, you got to go on and do that thing on your own. But I would wholeheartedly endorse all of his work because he's very thorough in what he does. But, you know, that it's like he calls me the turkey sandwich and he calls me smug stuff. And so I have to leave him alone for about 2-3 weeks. And then we get back together and it's all love again.
No, and it's all true, you know. And again, that I'm glad that I stuck in there so that I could step back from my own self and experience the art, because through the art, I came to have an appreciation, truly for Dwight and Dwight's style. To then, you know, for Roger just staying on me and saying, okay, you know, I'm out of this, Susan, leave me out of it, and you know, you make your own decision. You know. In a sense, I mean, you've heard me talk about Roger before. Yes, you know, you've heard me talk about Roger's made me cry or whatever, you know, but he pushes me to really, really think. And that's one of the things that I really love about Roger is he pushes me outside of myself and to why am I reacting a certain way to certain things. And so when I got past my own self and I could sit back and appreciate Dwight, I grew to have a you know, just a fondness, you know. So like I was saying earlier in the show, when Dwight's music would pop up on my iTunes, I found myself singing to it, you know, and really enjoying it and not even like thinking about the fact, oh, my God, this man really pissed me off in the very beginning, you know. So
goodness.
When I received the book, you know, again, it was something that totally took me in a different direction. That's what makes this man interesting. And that's why I was kind of excited about having Dwight on the show, because he's not like the normal type of guest that I have on the show. You know, he has an interesting way of expressing himself. The way that he expresses himself some ways matches up what he writes. In some ways it may not, because, you know, in the back of this book, Roger, he writes about relationships, and I'm like, is this really coming out of this man? Because it really does make sense. You know, when you read it makes sense. And I'm like, is he really talking about that?
Well, listen, I mean, Lady Flavor, Roger knows Carlotta, you know, and he knows her sister, Loretta. Now, who?
Lori, Loretta, Lori.
So
I call her Lori. Yeah, that's it.
All right, so you got it like that. So, but, you know, Lady Flavor, you know,
mm-hmm.
I got involved with Loretta, and, you know, I was moved, you know, profoundly. However, you know, I also was this was not my first time around the block. You know, so I said, well, listen, Dwight, start writing about this now. Because, you know, sooner or later, you know, y'all going to break up. At least have a couple of essays to walk away with. And that is exactly what, by the time she and I broke up, I had a half dozen essays written down and had you know, the impetus, you know, to write a half dozen more. And that's where, you know, the last third of the book came from. You know, and I thought about, you know, actually you're dedicating the book, you know, to Carlotta, but, well, didn't do it.
Well,
I got so many things I want to say about that one, but I'm gonna hold my tongue over here. Here's that warm, comfortable smile going on right now.
Right.
Lady Flavor,
right.
If you go look, if you go look on my Facebook page, there's a picture of Roger. You know, it looks like my cat Sundance, you know, but that's actually Roger. I swear to God, the eyes are identical. You can, if you put a portrait, a photograph of Roger side by side with my cat Sundance, you would swear to God they're related.
Oh, my God.
I'll have to go to his Facebook page and see what he's talking about.
I guess I need to go to his Facebook page. Well, you know what?
I got to see what he's talking about.
Okay, let's just take a breather. Let's go in a different direction. And since we've got Roger on the line, and since we've got, you know, Mr. Interesting Dwight Hobbs, let me let me play Pretty Girl that Roger produced for Dwight Hobbs.
Produced
by Roger
E. Lear.
Oh, my goodness. Along with my dear, dear friend who is also on the line with us, Roger Lear.
Good stuff. Good stuff. That is 19 years old. I'm amazed that that was what we did in a bedroom 19 years ago. That's amazing.
If you got, I mean, Lady Flavor, Roger,
mm-hmm.
if you got, you know, the right producer, it's going to be timeless.
That's good stuff. We're going to do that one again. Oh, I hear so much. We're going to do that one again. We're going to do it again. It's going on your album. It's going to be awesome. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. I love that song. And Thomasina Taylor was the woman. Actually, it's Thomasina Petras now. She's an amazing singer from the Twin Cities. She's the one doing the female vocal on that. Love her. I have done a lot of work with her. Love her as well. There's some secret gems over there in Minnesota. You got to get
that. Well, for me, Roger, you know that I would love, you know, to hear, you know, get back into the music. But honestly, really would really want some pieces of yours.
You know, I have said this a number of times. My album is drafted. I have 17 songs. I've been working on this stuff for a long time. Put this man's feet to the fire.
Tie him down. Hold him with, you know, tie his hands behind him. Have a shotgun to his head. Otherwise, you know, he'll be saying, you know, the same thing next year.
No, I will not. I will not. In 2012, this album will be done. It will be done in 2012. I've been waiting for the right time. I'm not going to go with the cosmic alignment of the stars or whatnot. But.
Okay, Lady Flavor, you've been warned, okay?
Well,
you
know,
you take this chucklehead, you know, at his word if you want to.
You know what, Dwight?
Turkey
sandwich. You know, Dwight, one thing that I've learned about Roger... Roger's got to do it his way. He's got to do it his way. He's got to do it in his time. And I've learned to love and respect that about him. That's just how he is, you know.
I give.
And he can do that. But you know what? For everybody who's listening, when Roger does step out, I hope to God I'm the first one who gets to break his music because he is absolutely amazing himself.
It's you, Flavor. I have it for you. We will do it here first. For sure. We'll do it here first.
Because, you know, I've only gotten little... Leave
the room and let y'all two you know, be alone?
No.
It was a joke. Oh, good Lord. It was a joke.
You already know Dwight Hobbs that I have much love and respect for Roger. That ain't no surprise. You knew that when you first encountered me.
Don't get jealous, Dwight.
And I don't... That's right. I don't hide that from anybody, not even here on Flavor News Radio. So
don't hate on my sex appeal.
Exactly. That man's sexy. You know how he uses the word sexy. Everything
don't
is
sexy. Don't hate on the
sexy. So.
Don't hate on the sexy. I am the new Billy D. Stop playing.
Well, he's very charismatic.
All right, maybe not.
He's very charismatic. He's got much personality. You know, if Dwight would be quiet and people could, like, actually hear it. But... for those of you, again, he's an amazing guitar player. I've had the opportunity in the past to have conversations with him on the phone where he's actually playing in the background. It's just, like, amazing, too.
Thank you.
You know, he's read a beautiful poetry to me and things. And Dwight was like, what? He writes? I told Dwight that you're a blogger, right? He's like, what? So,
God, Dwight doesn't take any of my work seriously if it's not music.
So, but he,
okay,
Roger's a very, very thought-provoking writer.
I mean, Roger, I had no idea whatsoever that you had a blog. So don't tell me, you know, I ain't taking it serious.
Lady Flavor.
Yes, baby.
For those individuals who would be interested, I have three websites. One, or the primary site where you can reach everything and see everything and hear everything. I've got albums there, remixes that I've done with Jay-Z and some other people. My blog is there. Contact through Twitter and Facebook is there. The site, primary site, is scr-entertainment.com. Through there, you'll get to my blog. Through there, you also get to Banging Beats by Rel, where beats for hip-hop and spoken word can be purchased and listened to and enjoyed. And I've got, I think on the blog, although I haven't done any additions in the last year, there's about 65, almost 70 posts, and they vary in topic
from industry-specific things to empowerment and insight about how to navigate the industry that is very much alive but is as dark and murky as it's ever been. So hopefully you get a chance to take some of that in and enjoy as well.
SCR stands for Smooth Composition Recordings, right?
Yes, sir. Smooth Composition Recordings. There it is.
There you go. I mean, you know, that was, you know, do you still have that, you know, that label in effect?
I do, but it's going through restructuring. Actually, I have a parent label that has been registered, and I'm doing some transferring of what do we call intellectual property.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff we have to do in order to, because I have some catalogs. I've done 14 albums, and
so
and
do you have a name
demos
for the title company?
Yeah, but I can't say it.
Okay, well, cool.
I can't say it. We're still taking care of some legal stuff, and what
sure,
I'd hate
sure
to do is say it and then have it show up somewhere else,
right,
and I got to pay for my own thing. That's not okay.
It's actually going to be called Flavor's Flavor.
Is that what it is? Nice!
Oh, I didn't say that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just felt like I wanted to jump in there with something.
No, but there's the beauty of what's happening in my life now with music and the relationships that I'm dealing with is I'm making money that affords me the opportunity to do what I'd love to do without the requirement of, oh, I have to do it a certain way in order to get paid, and if it doesn't sell, then I'm gonna lose my house and my car
right.
I'm eating well. So now it's about doing the music that I love. And, of course,
right,
it's always about commerce as a bottom line, but it's not commerce-driven. It's love-driven. It's about
right
the creativity. It's about artists like Dwight, who may or may not be a mainstream thing, but he's got a voice, and he's got something to offer. And there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's hundreds of thousands of people who would love what he does.
Right.
If they get exposed to it, and I want to be part of projects that are like that. You know, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have a platinum record and all of that, but that's not what drives me. I love music, so if I never get a platinum plaque, I'm still going to be producing every day.
There
so
you go.
I'm pretty sure
that in, you know, Roger E. Lear's future, I'm pretty sure there's not only a platinum recording. I'll bet you, you know, there's probably a couple of them in the offing.
I look forward to that. I do.
Well,
and I expect it. I just don't let that drive me, because I remember how ugly things got when it was just about trying to get
mm-hmm
money. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, when it's okay for me to finish my sentence, you let me know.
It's never okay. Go ahead. I love you, brother.
You see,
it's never okay.
You know, there's been, you know, Quincy, and I don't think, you know, since Quincy, you know, there's really been another one, you know, but Lear, you know, Roger Lear, you know, certainly has, you know, that expertise, you know, that touch in the studio, because it's not just about, you know, turning knobs, hiring the right engineer, and the right, you know, side man, you've got to have, you know, that magic ear for what indeed makes magic. And Roger
right
E. Lear has that ear.
No, and I will agree with you. I will agree with you, Dwight. You know, I have some music from a variety of artists that he has worked, you know, with, and you know, that I have in my secret vault that I get to listen to and all, and he does. That's why it's like, you know, it's like he's this mystery person that I would just love to jump out there in many, many ways, you know. But again, it goes back to, I know that Roger has to do it his way. And, you know, in the beginning, I would, you know, probably try to force the hand with him. But as I've come, you know, to understand his style and his ways, then I know which direction, you know, to push. You've and then I just
exposing this cat, Mark. Oh, what's his last name?
Mark Van Claggett.
Oh my goodness! Now that cat, does he produce his own material?
He does.
Ah, okay. All right, okay. I would say, you know, that he would give Roger a run for his money. Because, I mean, Roger, have you heard this cat?
I have not.
No, he hasn't.
Check him out, man.
Well, I wouldn't say that he would give, you know, Roger a run for his money. He and Roger are very different in styles. You know, very, very different. And so, I
well, you know,
he's very good.
What I think about that, too, is for as good as I am, or for people that have experienced me, they say I am,
mm-hmm.
I'm a real student. I mean, there are some men and women in the industry, some producers that I've listened to, that I've met, or that I've had an opportunity to hear their music from afar. And I'll never be as good as some of the people that I've listened to, and it's I think the gift is different.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
Roger,
that what I'm able
Roger,
to do is I can get.
Roger,
it. Well, no,
Roger,
brother, but really,
Roger, Roger, Roger,
go ahead,
Roger,
go ahead. Here he goes, Flavor.
Roger,
go ahead. That's it.
Roger,
I know.
Roger,
yes.
I've told you this before. Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they are yours.
Here he goes. Philosophy. Brother, that's not arguing for limitation. That's recognition that there's gift all over the planet. That, I mean, there are some people. Like, I'll give you an example, perfect example. I can't think of his name, little Asian boy. I saw him on YouTube about 6 months ago. He was a pianist, and he's playing songs at 6 and 7 years old, that if I spent every day in the woodshed, 12 hours a day, I'm light years from where he's at. And part of it is I don't aspire to be that. I don't aspire to do that. But I have a great appreciation for it, and there's moments that I envy it. And one of the best guitar players, and I'm real good on guitar. Nobody, I don't have any worry about that. But when I look at someone like Al Demiola, to me, Al Demiola is like God on the guitar. There's something so fluid and so perfect and so right about everything that he does. That doesn't take away from my skill level. I just recognize I don't do what he does, and I can't because I don't aspire to that, but I have a great appreciation for it. If somebody wants to see Lightning Fingers do that kind of thing classically, yep, they're going to have to look for him. They can't look for me. You know, and in that context, that I don't look at it as a limitation, just a recognition that
mm-hmm.
there's some gift on the planet that's just different than mine. And I can
exactly.
be appreciated and feel appreciated while looking at those cats and saying, wow.
Exactly.
To a certain extent, I even want to do that, but I don't necessarily want to put in the work to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So there, Dwight, humble down
wow.
over there.
Did you actually get him to be quiet?
Yeah, temporary. It's temporary. He'll come back. He's working on something right now. And for the record, again, I don't say this in jest. That guy, Dwight Howes, I love him. I love you, dude. You are a really special kind of guy and tremendously talented. I think you're a little edgy, but your talent is
second
to none. Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to help you. And here's one of those things that we say in the background, and he started this years ago. He used to say to me, and he still does on occasion, he'll say, I hate children. and I have to remind him that I despise old people. And so that's what I have to give him to help him. See that right there? To help him get in his place. But all that love aside, He's a good guy to take in.
And the bottom line is
it's been very interesting just how much, you know, Roger, you know, Lear, you know, changed, you know, the course of my career. Because had I not, you know, met, you know, his mom, Mary, and had she not, you know, introduced me to Roger, I have
yet to this day whether I would ever have, you know, gone into the studio with a pretty girl. I have no idea. Speaking of songs, do we have any time left to play End It?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, Dwight, I extended your show so we wouldn't run out of time.
Okay, so we don't have time for that. All right, well.
No. I said I extended your show and made it longer than what it was originally. I do have somebody else to bring in. I think this person is just wanting to get you back on track as far as your book.
Right.
So let me bring him in, you know, and see. Caller from
the
763 area code.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the Leopard
Carpet.
Okay.
How you doing? This is Nora. Hello, everybody. I've been enjoying everybody's conversation tonight. Been rolling on the floor here.
I know it, huh? There's something else, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know that you extended the show. I was worried there for a second there, but I did want to plug his book. It is an excellent book, I thought, you know.
Roger, man, tell them how they can buy the book.
Well, how they can buy the book is, the easiest and quickest way is through Amazon. But you can also
The best way, man. Where you and I make the most money.
Well, it's not me. It's just getting the book out there and supporting you and just the whole your whole genre that you're multi-talented self here. But or you can contact me at Papyrus Publishing and I can send it to you directly.
There you go.
He does have a book signing coming up Friday, April 20th at 6:30 at Golden Time Coffee Cafe in St. Paul.
Yes.
And hope to get people out there to hear some of that reading and hopefully get some books signed and enjoy each other's company and get some of this deep-seated wisdom in the way that it comes. It's very interesting, you know, when I was hearing you guys talk about working with Dwight. It's unbelievable, and it comes out, and you know that truth is there, and it's an interesting way. Sometimes we think it, but we won't say it all the time. And so,
but he
says it, and he says it in a different way, and people actually enjoy it. I think that's why the Spokesman Recorder still publishes stuff, and he's published with many other people. And so, it's been a pleasure working with him, and. You bump heads a little bit as kind of the publisher. You're like, you know, you sure you want to say this way? Yeah, I want to say it that way. Well, I said, okay, for every three things he gets to keep in, I get to take out one. So I'm like, okay, you can't say this way. Come on now. So, but it's been a joy, though. But thank you for letting me talk. And, I love listening
man,
to you.
Man, Anura, you know, it has been a real blessing. You know, that you came along, and I'm like, just as, you know, Roger made a difference in my music career, I mean, you are now making, you are giving me, you know, my next step in my writing career, because I've never had a book before. And, you know, 2 years ago, man, you know, way back when, you know, when it was just, you know, an idea, you and I sat down at a coffee shop, you know, with, you know, your loose leaf, you know, and me, you know, running my mouth, you know, big surprise. And, you know, we sat down and started hashing it out. So, you know, I mean, like, I am truly, you know, beholden, whatever. I mean, I'm like, listen, I mean, you know, you have a Papyrus Publishing. And Riquette, you know, y'all have my back. And I'm like, I can't help but, you know, be grateful.
Oh, yeah. It's been good. And we're going to keep on doing this. So, and I love the show. I love your show, Lady Flavor. And
I appreciate
that. Hope to get the time to keep on listening to it. Cause I know you have some interesting people and topics and everything. So keep up the great work, too, there.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I was like, okay, is Anur going to call back in so we can get Mr. Dwight back on track? Because I'm like, he's just like over here in left field. We're supposed to be talking about his book.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I was caught up in your conversation, though. Oh, yes. Wow.
You don't want to know, Dwight, the texts that I'm getting and the messages I'm getting.
Oh, my goodness. Get him off the air.
Yes, he is an author. Yes, we are supposed to be talking about his book, and his book is called Something I Said. So Anura is his publisher, and,
Anura C.S.R. Yeah, Anura C.S.R. And Lady Flavor, you know, I have to tip my hat to Mahmoud El-Khati. You know, he is the Twin Cities, premier griot, historian, scholar, but he's the griot. And mm-hmm. I had written about Mahmoud for ages, and finally it was like I harked back to when Gwendolyn Brooks, I interviewed her ages ago, and she turned down Doubleday. Well, no, I didn't turn down Doubleday, but she went with a black publishing company in Chicago. And I'm like, well, you know what? I've been writing about Mahmoud at this black publishing company, so why don't I, give this black publishing company, first refusal? If they turn mm-hmm. it down, well, they turn it down. And Anura was like, no, man, we can run with this.
Right.
So.
Yep.
That's how it happened.
But, yeah, that is. Exactly. But,
well, I'm glad, Anura, that he wrote the book. And like I've been saying, it's a very thought-provoking. It is said in a way that maybe we might think it, but never, publicly say it. And I really think that it's okay to go in that direction and cause people to just be uncomfortable a little bit. I think all the subjects are subjects that need to be tackled. And maybe if it's in your face a little bit, kind of like this, it makes you have to address it because too many people, not only the African-American community, but all people are affected by, mm-hmm. The topics that, pretty much are in this particular book. Again, it's like, getting to know his personality and he definitely is growing on me.
A fungus.
It may be that I'm going to, I'm going to let you own that one. So you sit here and you try to, for me, it's interesting to see, how I react to it, just balancing and making sense of everything that I've experienced out of Dwight Hobbs, And mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, it just doesn't all match for me. Right. But obviously he knows how to make sense out of things when I think that he doesn't make sense, And so mm-hmm. the book, it touched home
what
for me in many, many ways.
Lee Flavor, what doesn't work for you? What doesn't work for you?
No, I don't always get your personality.
Well,
when you talk and when you write certain things.
Neither do I.
So then when it goes, I read your post and I'm like, okay, what is he even talking about, or whatever. But then I listen to your music and I love your music. I do. It's definitely grown on me. And it's something that
I should just shut up and sing, right?
No. Because this is who
joke,
you are.
Never mind.
Oh, see, just like I'm getting used to your personality, darling, you got to get used to my personality. But, your music, it speaks for itself, in my opinion. Your book is amazing. It really is. And it's like, if you were to sit down and read this, which I hope people will, they can gain a lot, out of it from all
the
topics.
They won't fall asleep.
They won't fall asleep. And it's not a book that you have to sit and read in one sitting.
Right.
You don't have to.
You can take any one to read at any time.
Right. And it's it's sectioned out in topics. And, you can touch on a whole lot of things that I'm sure you will have an opinion, and I think that it's okay if you don't agree with what Dwight wrote, because the thing is that he's going to make you think, And I think when somebody, when a writer can grab you in that direction and make you think, that's a good writer.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't necessarily have to agree with them. But all the subjects
in
here
are
provocative. Yeah, it definitely is. And, but, you know, it's just, but for me, it takes a different twist just because it's like this whole history of Flava and Dwight and Roger or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, this is just like interesting. And but it keeps me interested. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bored by Dwight by no means. It keeps me
interested.
I'm
sorry,
in
you know,
there.
That
so,
Mahmood, you know, didn't join in on the conversation because trust me, that would have been fascinating to hear what Mahmood holds forth. I mean, Mahmood wrote the foreword.
Mm-hmm.
Using I can talk. You ain't heard anybody talk until you've heard Mahmood El-Kadi
right.
hold forth. Trust me on
right.
that.
Right. So,
and this
right.
public service announcement.
So I knew that tonight was going to be interesting. I knew it was like, okay, what direction is this all going to go, you know? But I think that, you know, Dwight, you've got this personality that's like, okay, who is this guy? Who is this? They may not figure you out at this, you know, at this time. I hope that people will actually go back to your feature on the 7th, where we talked a lot about your music, and they got to hear several pieces of your music that particular night. And, you know, I think that if you could listen to both tonight and that time, you'll get a better sense of this man and his talents. And, you know, is there a place that people can go online, Dwight or Anura, that they can get a little bit of a taste of what to expect out of this particular book than to just take us take us, you know, at what we're saying on the show tonight?
Mm-hmm. I know Dwight posts actually quite a few of his articles online, and you can
okay.
find them at the Spokesmere. The book is a compilation of his past writings that he's already
okay.
have published. And so from his Facebook page, his blog, Spokesman Recorder to Twin Cities
Manure.
Planet, you can go to, yeah.
Isn't, you know, the www.papyruspublishinginc.com going to be online soon?
Hopefully soon. It's not up yet, and so I don't want people to get disappointed by going there yet, but it will be. That's
the,
one place you'll
awesome,
be able to
right?
get the book. Right. And so that's one place you'll be able to get the book, and we'll have some samples up there, but again, to actually start getting some of the writings and stuff like that to see what's in it. Some of it has been published already.
Okay.
And it's been over years, so, yeah.
Well,
that
I think that
sense.
He's – it does. You know, the best way probably to find out more about Dwight Hobbs is to Google him. He's very Googleable, you know.
Right.
So just go to Google and put his name in, and that's H-O-B-B-E-S, Dwight Hobbs. And, you know, all kinds of things will come up, from his music to, you know, the different articles that he has written in the different publications to, you know, information about his book and, you know, some videos that he's done of some performances, you know, his singing. So definitely, you know, you got a taste of his personality tonight. You got a taste of his writing skills tonight. You got a taste of his music, you know, and you know, I think that he's somebody definitely worth paying attention to. You know, he's an amazing writer. He's an amazing singer and songwriter, you know, with his own style.
If he does need a personality makeover, okay.
No, you don't need a person. You know what? This is you. This is who you
are. That's what creates the writing and the music.
That's right. This is not about, you know what? This is not about, you know, switching up or anything.
Did Roger leave?
No, Roger didn't leave. I'm listening.
Cookie sandwich.
I'm just listening.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You're laying back in the cut. Yeah.
Well,
uh-huh.
See, you know,
like,
you get too much. You get too many voices going.
I have
going,
a feeling
like,
you're
like
still
that.
There.
Oh yeah,
what?
You get too many voices going, and it's convoluted. And nobody really gets to hear what's going on. I wanted to take you in, brother. I just wanted to take you in. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna harass you when I'm back in the Twin Cities. Cookie. I'll be back there in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If I don't get a phone call, I'm going to talk about you, you know, 94 years, man.
No, we've got to talk about this Smokey Robinson thing. Ooh, that's the hint. Don't talk about it right now. But there's this Smokey Robinson. He has this wonderful idea about the Smokey Robinson thing. We won't get off into that, but we'll talk about it, brother.
For real, man, for real. Hey, I lied to you. Not
intrigue.
You feel me? Roger, you feel me, right?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right, then.
Lady Flavor, we'll fill you in on what we're not saying.
Okay. I'm sure somebody will. Sure somebody will when it's time for me to be filled in because, you know. Yeah. Okay.
Big.
I got y'all.
Get brushed up on your Smokey Robinson.
Okay.
And then we'll let you know.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Hello? Yep, I'm still here.
Anura's gone?
No, he's here.
Anura, man, listen, tell Lady Flavor about the one actor show that I just wrote for. The
Minnesota African American Museum. Dwight just finished writing the script or the play, one person play for Jackie Robinson that they'll be using an educational actor to go to different schools and teach about, you know, integration in baseball, but our baseball history, the Negro Leagues, and just the great civil rights work that Jackie Robinson did and all that stuff. And so his talent is still being used and utilized to this day. And so pretty soon, hopefully, I'll be able to talk about Jackie Robinson, and not just Kirby Puckett, but who laid the groundwork for people like that. So he's done a great job again. So keeping on, keeping on.
So now, Anura, are you in Minnesota?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
He's here. And he has what's the name of your school, man?
I also coordinate a science program for young people called the Imhotep Science Academy.
Okay.
Held in St. Paul as well. So, got my fingers in a few things as well, but
okay.
This is one of my passions, getting to work in education in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, the publishing comes in there and tapping into people like Dwight. So,
okay.
Anura, you know, is one of these, you know, low key brothers. You know, he's not, you know, not like, you know, me and Roger. You know, I mean, Anura, you know, is like, you know, he's like, you know, smooth and cool. You know, it's like, you know, he'll, you know, go with the flow, but he makes a difference in young people's lives. He and his wife, Riquette, they've got Anura, is it Imhotep Science Academy?
Yep.
Is that the name?
That's the name, yep.
And I'm telling you, every year, Anura and Riquette make a difference in adolescent lives.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
in terms of, like, you know, educating,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you can tell, you know, by Anura's, you know, presence, even when he comes into the chat room when you've been on the show or, you know, what you see online, you know, you can tell, you know, how, you know, in his personality. I mean, it's just like the three of you all have your own, you know, you do your world, you know, the way that works for you and makes sense for you. But the interesting thing is the three of you, from Roger, you, Dwight, and Anura, you know, there's a respect and appreciation. And bottom line is tonight's about you, Dwight, you know. And obviously, you know, Roger and Anura have a great appreciation and respect for you.
Well, you know, God bless them both, you know, because – you know, it's too often, you know, that, you know, yeah, you don't get that, you know, mutual respect, you know, amongst men.
Right.
Is there any time left, you know, to play End It All Over Again?
Yes, and I will play that. Would you like me to play that now?
Pretty please. All
right.
With Grits and Gravy?
I will do that. So I'm going to play End It All Over Again by my special guest tonight, Dwight Hobbs.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Honora.
The sun sets in the sky.
Favorite, Dwight?
My very favoritist. Very favoritist. Yeah, even, past, Pretty Girl, I'm sorry, but End It, is my absolute favoritist.
Okay.
Because, we've got, so many, talents in the studio at the same time, and it was just, just an interesting experience. It really was. You had Alicia Wiley, Johannes Tona. J.D. Steele, arranged the, J.D. Steele didn't have a damn thing to do with it. But my boy Jeff Christensen, playing, acoustic guitar. And, it's clean. And I guess, it's my favorite because it is.
Okay. Well, I think that every artist has something that they claim to be their favorite or something that they're just really, attached to or proud by, like you said. So I got you on that.
Yeah. And, the whole song's only got, it's three chords.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do we have left?
We actually have I've got it where we've got 20 more minutes left. So this turned into a 2-hour show.
Let's talk.
So anyway, everybody who has tuned into the show,
Lady Flavor.
Yes.
It's odd and interesting for me that, the book, really, has taken on a dimension that I didn't really, see coming.
Okay.
It's 103 pages, right? And the first 30, you've got a man writing about domestic abuse and rape.
Mm-hmm.
How often, you know, does that come along?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not very. You know, and at the tail end, you've got the last 30 pages, a man giving romantic advice.
Right.
Which I guess, you know, is kind of like, you know, like a mule shitting and trying to tell you about roses, but.
There goes that personality again, huh?
Yeah. And in the middle, you've got topical issues, but, it's a book that women will find, interesting. They'll find it well worth reading.
Did you write this book with women in mind then?
Well, all right, I've got to confess. I have to confess. Everything I write with women in mind. Sue me. Sue me for being, kitty cat whipped. Sue me.
Mm-hmm.
Sue me. But men don't read. Women do.
Now, I think Roger would beg to differ on that one.
Roger, do you beg to differ?
I think he's probably put us on mute or something, huh? Oh, no. I think he dropped off. But, Roger is one that reads a lot. He reads a lot. But I got you. I got you on that because I think that I think you're right. I think you're right to a point that a good in the years that I have been a book reviewer, it has been rare, even like when I sold the books in my coffee shop, that a man actually purchased the books. The majority of the consumers that purchased a book from me were women. And when you read book reviews, a lot of the book reviewers are women, So I think that I think you're right, in regards to that. But I didn't, I didn't know whether you actually, wrote this with a specific, specific audience in mind, and if it was geared towards women. Yet, okay, the topics are about women, but I think that at the same time, I think if a man was to the time to read it, that is something that they can definitely walk away from and get something out of it.
Okay. Ultimately, I write, for me. Because every writer does.
Mm-hmm.
Every writer, who writes, writes, for, themselves. Otherwise, why are you writing?
Right.
But, it's like, who's listening? Men don't listen. Women
That's
do.
That's not true. There are some men that do listen.
Okay, I'm guilty of generalizing. All right, okay, I cop. I plead guilty to generalizing.
Right. But I do think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I do think that anybody that would take the time to read your book would get a lot out of it. Sincerely, Dwight, because you do talk about some subjects that need to be talked about. You're not new. You're not the first person to talk about domestic violence by no means.
Right.
But I do think that there is, like you said, something to be said in the fact that you are a man talking about it, and you are addressing abuse against women on a whole, yet we do know that there is abuse against men.
Stephanie Booker, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Lady Flavor, Stephanie Booker at Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, when I got fired at Insight News, I got hired at Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Stephanie Booker, God, she's a pistol. God bless her heart. You know, damn Gemini. She said, we don't have, because I walked in, you know, to the meeting, you know, for my interview, and I was, you know, nervous, you know, as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, you know. And she said, we don't have, you know, enough, you know, black writers writing about, you know, domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on it with all 4 feet. And she gave me the column, Hobbs
okay.
in the House.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's how I started writing about domestic abuse, you know, and rape. And that's how the, you know, that first, you know, 30 pages, you know, in the book, you know, came to pass. And I think I got off the track, didn't I?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
So,
but
go ahead.
No, but you do hit on subjects that aren't necessarily written by men, you know. And I, you know, I can say as my background as a domestic violence advocate, you know, men do suffer abuse not only at the hand of another man, but also at the hand of women, you know, and there aren't services out there for men. That's the sad thing, is there's very, very little services out there for men that go through it. And when we talk about the fact that there's shame when it comes to women being abused, there's much more shame when it comes to men being abused. And there aren't services. There are services for women. There are services for children. You know, but you touch on subjects in a right-in-your-face type of way, which I think sometimes is good because, you know, when we poo-poo it a lot, we throw out statistics and things like that, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, and I think that in this
passion.
Book, right, you know, and so I think that in this particular book, you say it in a way, like, again, as I said at the beginning of the show, Dwight, like, you know, you and I could have a conversation on the phone, we get onto the subject, and we just have this raw, real conversation, right? Well, that's your writing style form. You know, even when you talk about relationships or you talk about race and all of that, it's just kind of like in-your-face type stuff, but it's conversations that people have every day, but it's like, do they dare put that out there to the public? And you do. And I think that it causes controversy, but at the same time, I think that your style makes people think. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that sometimes we need to be, you know, put in that position to be made uncomfortable and really think, okay, have we experienced this? Have we actually ourselves, you know, caused somebody else to experience this at the hand of ourselves? Or, you know, what can we do about it? There's so many people that talk about things, but they do nothing about it. And so your book, you know, again, I sat back and I'm like, wow, so many of the subjects touch on my own life experience, from whether it's work that I did prior to being, you know, becoming Lady Flava, or, you know, right now I work with at-risk homeless youth, you know, so I continue to do the work, you know, and, you know, definitely when you come to social issues, you know, that can just be a topic within itself, and you address a lot of it. And I think that, you know, I think that you should, you know, put it out there more when you write your articles. I know that, you know, you try your best to, you know, to do that. And I need to pay attention a little bit more, because I think that it's great to be able to direct people to you. The other thing that we have not touched on tonight, Dwight, is that you do write reviews on books and you do write reviews on music. And so it's not just, you know, specific subjects. I mean, you've written, you know, articles on our dear friend Roger, you know, that was on the phone earlier, you know, and things. And so, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not just on particular subjects that you attack. You know, you do, and in this particular book, you know, you do have, you know, a review that you've written in. So,
there's a book review that's in there. I think it's in here. Half the Sky?
Yes.
Is it in there? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And, I mean, it broke my heart.
Right.
You know, to realize in this day and age, this kind of brutal bestiality, you know, against girls. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, 13, 14, 15,
right.
20, 21, 25. I mean,
right.
still goes on. And I'm like, you know what? And I actually wrote in the review, and I said back earlier in the interview, you know, I gave, you know, an extreme example of what I thought and still think is a way to do something about it. When I said, you know, rape racists, you know, and
mm-hmm.
beat abusers,
mm-hmm.
it's like, listen, you've got these young girls, these young women who are being trafficked.
Right.
Well, I've got an even more extreme solution, which I put in the book, but I don't think I'll put it over there over FCC's, you know, airway.
Right, right.
But trust me, you know, I don't want to hear you mitigating circumstance. Okay, circumstance. You know, it's like, listen, you traffic in women, you traffic in girls. You sell them like, you know, a can of beans on the shelf. Oh boy, I tell you what, I wish I could get my hands on you.
Right.
With a baseball bat, which I know is not the most constructive, productive way to go about things, but that's how I feel about it. Sue me.
No, and I understand that. I get, you know, and I appreciate your thoughts, but I think that even with
what
that,
your
review was written really well. You know, you talked about the book and you did share your opinions. You know, but I think that it was written really well, and so
there is,
you know,
there was one point in the Half the Sky review where, you know, these women finally, I don't know, I think it might have been India, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
But they finally got fed up and dragged this pimp out in the middle of the street and, you know, relieved him of his offending equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, I would love to see that in a film. I would stand up and applaud. You know, the ushers will probably have to tell me, okay, yeah, you got to go. I'm like, yeah, you're fine. I'll go,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to go applauding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, why in this so-called day and age of a civilized, you know, society, why is it okay to rape and abuse women?
Right.
Not just in, you know, so-called third world countries.
Countries,
but
right.
Right here. I mean,
right.
Come on.
No.
Okay. That concludes it. I'm sorry.
No, but my point was, Mr. Hobbs, was that you do write reviews. And so, you know, it's not just, you know, writing articles on topics and just getting in people's face. You know, you wrote your piece about Roger. You've written, you know, book reviews
that
and
rascal.
Music reviews and all of that. And so there's much more to you than people might really, really understand. And, you know, but I do hope that people will take the time and get to know you. You definitely can find Dwight on Facebook, and he does have some excerpts that he has posted on Facebook, you know, from his book. We don't want to necessarily give it all out. You know, and you know, I understand that he, you know, these are articles and essays that he has published, but you know, I think that it's just like with music. I don't think it's necessarily good to give everything out, because you definitely want people to go and purchase it, you know, but just to get a taste of his style. I know it, you know, you can tell that there's a quirkiness to his personality, and please know that I'm saying that in an endearing way, Dwight, just like you call Roger Turkey. you know, and so it, I'm not trying to say it, you know, like I'm putting you down or whatever.
Give
I mean,
him a taste of the milk, not the whole cow.
So, you know, he's definitely got his own style of communication, but, you know, I think that's what makes him an interesting person, you know, because you listen to his music, you read his writing, and it's like, okay, you know, I think he intrigues you. And so, you know, I want to thank everybody who tuned into the Leopard Carpet tonight.
Me too.
You can
thank y'all.
You can find out more about Dwight, you know, on Facebook. Once Anura gets the website up, there will be information about Dwight, some of the excerpts of his writings, to being able to purchase his book over there. Anura said that the book is available over at Amazon.com. And so, and I will be writing my review on this and posting it on my website, and I will also post it over on Amazon.com.
Can't wait.
And so, you know, just stay tuned. You definitely will hear Dwight's music on my show. I'm looking forward to, since Roger has put it out there, that he's going to get in the studio and do some work with Dwight here in the future, to be able to play some of that music. And I look forward to, you know, actually playing some of Roger's music. I do have another artist that I'm going to be playing of Roger's. And, you know, I look forward to getting to know Anura a little bit more, and, you know, what he's doing, and, you know, the multi, you know, talented sides of who he is and what he, you know, is doing out there in Minnesota. And you know what? We've got like 3 minutes left to the show, Dwight, so how about if I close out with another one of your songs?
That'll work.
Which one would you like me to play, my friend?
Let's get something started.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to close out tonight's show with Let's Get Something Started. So again, thank you so much for tuning in to the Leopard Carpet, where tonight was my, can I say, controversial friend, Dwight Hobbs, talking about his new book, which is called Something I Said. And I do recommend that people check out this particular book. And, you know, when he has music, his an album coming out, we will definitely let you know about that, so you can take a listen and support that particular project too. So, again, we're closing out tonight with Let's Get Something Started by Dwight Hobbs.
Here I am, once again watching you. There you are, from afar watching me. Go ahead and look, 'cause you look like such a stare, scared to care too quickly. But you like my look, guess I look like I can cook. Oh yeah, once I get started, let's get something started. Change of heart, lost her benefit of the doubt. Go on,
right. You've been listening to On the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava. My special guest tonight is singer, songwriter, musician, author, and journalist Dwight Hobbs. Dwight, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're a busy man who has a busy schedule, so I was glad to have set this time aside. And you know what? You are just an interesting, fun man.
Lady, thank you so much.
You are welcome. So I will be getting that review done for you, get it up on my website and out there on Amazon.
All right, darling.
All right, darling. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight.